Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu. I have to clarify that this is not a slander podcast because the series is not over, but Asad is indeed joining me on the line after the Toronto Raptors took down the Golden State Warriors, closed out Oracle by a score of 105-92. Asad, how are you feeling right now?
I just got to say, bro...
Oh my god.
Yo, okay.
Yep.
I'm just gonna get this out of the way up front right now.
Mm-hmm.
White Shoes Kawhi is undeniable. Unstoppable. Yo, New Balance, stop making black colorways of that shoe.
Yeah, the black and blue, not successful. The OVO, not as successful.
Not worth it. Just forget it. Just white colorways. Here's the theory, alright? I'm just gonna get this theory out of the way before we even get into the game. Alright? The black colorway, and this is science, okay? I know this. I'm an accountant.
Everyone knows black shoes are heavier. Colorway,
black absorbs more light. We all know this, right?
It's
black
just absorbs physics. Light. That's pure physics.
The shoes absorb the light. Of course, light has weight.
Mm-hmm.
So the shoes get heavier.
Yep.
So Kawhi plays slower.
Preach it, Max Planck.
Get the front rim more. Yep. Get the back rim more.
There you go.
Know what I mean?
Yeah. The wave particle theory.
White shoes bounces off. Bounces off, boy. Light on his feet. You see him zipping around. Kawhi shoes on it. Dog, I'm so hyped right now. Good God.
Oh, my God. All right, this is not a slander podcast. It's not a slander podcast. But, yo, the Toronto Raptors went into game four at the Oracle. The lines favoring the Warriors. Klay Thompson gets some sort of medical injection to get himself ready for the game. I didn't say it out loud, but come on. We all know what happened there. Kevon Looney somehow is playing through a broken collarbone, a fractured collarbone, but he's out there too. Iguodala's out there. Draymond's out there. Steph's out there. Kevon Looney's out there, actually giving them some pretty good minutes. You know, KD's not there because, you know, he's already halfway in Brooklyn by now. But the Toronto Raptors went into Oracle Arena up 2-1 and completely took control of the series. I mean, first quarter, that was almost all Kawhi Leonard. And by that, I mean Kawhi had 14 points. The Raptors had 17 points. But the Raptors weathered the storm. They went into halftime down only 4 points, which was amazing. And then the third quarter happened. And, you know, those Warriors that, you know, oh, man, the third quarter for the Warriors, you know. Remember the 18-0 run to start the second game, too? Like, oh, the Warriors are so good in the third quarter. Well, not this time. Not this time. 37-21 for the Raptors in the third quarter. And then the Raptors continue to press that advantage throughout the rest of the game. Let me just give you a stat, Asad, before I let you, you know, go back on what you were saying, all right? So the Raptors have now won 13 of 16 quarters against the Warriors in this series. And so that's my takeaway after the game was, with the way things are right now, the Raps are just better. Asad, what are you saying?
Yo, honestly, the way this game started, I was never too worried. Like, if it's a low-scoring game, the Raptors are going to win it, right?
Yep.
That's just been how it's been all series. But you start the game out, first play, Pascal gets the ball on the wing. He's got his back to the basket. Gasol sets a back screen for Lowry. Lowry's wide open.
Mm.
And he's just hanging out there. And Pascal just doesn't see him. I'm like, oh, my God, he's not awake.
Yeah.
Another play down. Pascal, again, gets into the paint, back turn. And I think there's a dump-off pass to, I think, Kawhi in the dunker spot. And Pascal doesn't see it, gets double, loses the ball. And it's like, brah.
Yeah.
Wake up, Wake up, Skills. Come on, we need you.
Yep.
Marc Gasol clanging shots.
Yep.
Not even taking shots back. Danny Green just bricking to start the game. I'm like, oh, buddy. Oh, buddy, we're going to be in trouble today. Because we've seen him in the candy cane jerseys not show up a couple times.
Yep.
It's happened.
Yeah.
It's a letdown game, 100% there.
That's true. I feel like they were on the road against Milwaukee.
Kawhi freaking Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard.
Andre Iguodala, yo, I'll take you in the paint. Oh, boom, boom. Man. Little fadeaway. Money. Klay Thompson, pull up in your face.
Mm.
Kevon Looney, why? Why are you out here?
Yo, Kevon, dog.
Dog.
Why are you wearing like a t-shirt protecting your broken collarbone? Just sit at home, man. Just sit at home. Ooh. Just let Jordan Bell get those minutes, man.
I'll be honest. I was very surprised that as soon as Kevon Looney came on the court, they didn't just run a 1-5, like a 3-5 pick and roll for Kawhi up top and let him just go straight at him.
But listen, we are not cruel. We are not inhumane.
Yo, honestly, we let him cook. Respect to the Raptors for letting him play. And honestly, I think he helps them when he's on the court. So it's not bad because he's just skinnier.
I was going to say, you know who does help the Raptors when he's on the court? DeMarcus Cousins. But continue.
Yo, DeMarcus. I love DeMarcus Cousins. Me too. All right? Boogie to the six, man. All day. All over that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, maybe if you get Boogie with Alex McKechnie, he can jump over a phone book. But right now, that man cannot jump. Oof. That man has my hops right now. Maybe less.
Oh, God.
It's disappointing, but
I don't even know where to start. Like, yo, Clay. Okay,
let's just go through the game. First quarter, you mentioned Pascal failing to make some reads. Marc Gasol failing to score whatsoever, and literally Kawhi's doing everything. He has 14 of 17 points for the Raptors, and really, I mean, part of it was the Raptors were missing wide open shots, and you knew that wasn't going to continue throughout the entire game because Danny was getting mint looks and Kyle was getting mint looks, and you know whatever they were just missing. But like the Raptors. From start to finish, you could tell the Raptors defensively, they were in the game. They were locked in. Steph wasn't doing Steph things. Steph wasn't going for 47 tonight. No 47 points for Steph tonight. And Klay got a couple of looks. You know, Klay got a little turnaround, you know, jumpers in the post and things like that. But Warriors were not getting easy looks. They were not getting easy looks. And, you know, the defense, it was clear from the start. They were going to keep the Raptors in the game. And if the Raptors finally started hitting some open shots, that game was going to be over. And that's pretty much the whole story of the game. What about you? What'd you see?
Yeah, more or less same. I thought the defensive first, second quarters, it was like almost there. It was like, yo, they played like 20 seconds of good defense, and then they let slip a back cut. They let like Klay open up for a three. They let Steph open up for something. It was just like almost good enough.
I mean, the Warriors did like, a great job of
playing
for the post.
Almost got a hand on the ball, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like, man, it's close. They've almost cut it off, but then there's just these small mistakes. Guys aren't awake, right? It's like, all right, we got to wake up. But the fact that the Warriors were missing some open looks, that helped a lot too. The fact that the Raptors basically sold out on Boogie, Iggy, and Draymond. Yep. They're just like, yo, you go ahead and shoot all day. We really do not care if you're the last.
Yeah, do what you feel. That's it. We're only going to guard two guys.
Shot, it's fine.
Yep.
But, yeah, and then I think in the second quarter, that the one thing was like, even though open shots weren't going, the Raptors realized they were like, yo, and honestly, it was saving grace. They were just like, we're just going to forget, like, we see them switching, or we're seeing them switching, not the bigs at least, but they're at least switching the wings. They just kept going after McKinney.
Yep.
Like, yo. Listen. Like, McKinney, love the guy, you know, X-905 guys, great, but,
It's a G-leaguer. They're guarding Kawhi Leonard in the finals with a G-leaguer.
A walking bucket.
Oh, my God.
Like, Kawhi eating him. Kyle eating him. Oh, my God.
Yep.
Just destruction. Like, McKinney, I don't know how many points he gave up. I don't know the stats in front of me. It just felt like 40.
Let's go with that, 40 points. He only played 8 minutes, but I think that there were 40
points. He only played
8 points.
Minutes?
Yeah, I know. 8 minutes, 30 how? Seconds for Alfonso McKinney. But I agree with you, man. I mean,
plays.
He was a walking
bucket.
He was
in a lot of plays for those 8 minutes because I remember him vividly.
Yep. Yep.
I'm guessing he didn't play a single second half minute then.
No, he played the second half. And I remember the Raptors just literally were like, oh, word, you're going to have him on the floor? Bet we're going to scrap our entire offense. We're going to have floor spaced. Kawhi's in the middle of the floor, one-on-one, no help. Score every time. Every time. But, yo, I got to say, before we breeze past the second quarter, a couple things happened in the second quarter, all right? One, Serge Ibaka happened. Mafuzi. All right? He was phenomenal throughout the entire game. But the second quarter there, Kawhi wasn't scoring as much in the second quarter, but Mafuzi was scoring in the second quarter. Mafuzi was carrying the Raptors offense. At one point, he put it behind his back, pulled up,
and
stepped back onto Marcus Cousins. And I was thinking, wow, that's the most disrespectful shot I've seen Serge Ibaka hit since, game 7 against the Sixers. Remember when he pulled up on Ben Simmons.
And that's when you knew that, like, yo, DeMarcus Cousins can't be on the court. Because, like, that was like, the second or third play in a row Ibaka went at him. Because one of them was, like, Serge got into the mid-post, like, in the middle of the paint, and he'd, like, given up his dribble. And he gave a pump fake, and it was like he just had to go for a right-hand hook at that point, and Boogie's right on him.
Yep.
And it's like you've seen that usually, like, Ibaka gets bodied off, completely bricks that hook, or gets blocked.
Yeah, he needs balance because he doesn't have touch.
Boogie has no lift. And even if Boogie has lift, he had no strength because his legs are jelly. Like, he just doesn't have it right now. He's clearly not in shape to play, which is perfectly fine. Like, he shouldn't be playing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, this is going to be bad. And then Serge comes with a behind-the-back, and it was unnecessary. It was an unnecessary.
It was 1,000% a bad shot.
And Serge is just like, y'all feeling it. Let's do this, yeah. Shout out to Dodger, yo.
But oh, man.
Now, I started playing in the second half. It was money. Oh, my God, Serge
Ibaka.
What's great was it felt a lot like that Milwaukee Game 7, except for that the team that they were facing was worse.
Wow. But wait, hold on. Do you mean Sixers Game 7 or Milwaukee Game 6?
Oh, sorry, Milwaukee Game 6.
Okay, yeah. Keep on.
Can't keep track anymore. But, yeah, Milwaukee Game 6 where it was like, they felt like they were down, but you knew they weren't out. Like, the defense was there. And, like, they were just missing shots. And then, you know, nobody's really hitting shots. Kawhi's doing his thing. And then Serge comes and just brings this massive surge, no pun intended.
Mm.
Just straight energy.
Yeah.
And just starts blitzing. Like, yo, as soon as he got that first block, it was like, all right, game time.
Yep.
Like, we're ready to go. Because that was not an easy block either. That was also McKinney, wasn't it?
Probably.
That was McKinney. Oh, my God.
Yo, Serge had 20 points.
How are you that memorable in 8.5 minutes?
Listen, Alfonso, bro, I love you, and I'm really happy you're still playing for the Raptors. And I'm happy, you know, Alfonso should get a ring from all this.
Yeah, he should.
He's probably got a ring from all this.
Did he have a 905 ring? No, already came the year after. Poor guy.
Yeah. It's too bad. I remember him in Summer League. He was exciting in Summer League. I was like, look at him jump for these rebounds. Second quarter there. So basically, the Raptors weathered the storm. You know, one thing that worried me at halftime was, you know, the Raptors, you know, they had only had 2 3-pointers and they shot 2 of 17, but the Warriors only had 2 of 13. And I was worried because I was like, man, the Warriors are going to start hitting shots eventually. But also, I was pretty excited about the fact that the Warriors only took 13 3-point attempts in the second quarter. And it felt like the Warriors just weren't playing through Steph as much. And like the Warriors baskets that they were getting were all kind of difficult stuff.
Well, that was
felt
the
like
thing.
Raptors going to hit shots eventually, and that's kind of
every
what happened.
every time they put Steph on ball, the Raptors just blitzed them out of it. They made sure to ice them, doubled, and they took them out. Same thing with Klay. Anytime Klay got in the post, they brought the double as fast as they could.
Mm-hmm.
And the few times in the first half, they were slow bringing the double, and he got like easy little post jumpers over Kyle Lowry.
Yep,
which were like frustrating as hell because like, oh my God, like just cut off baseline, Kyle. What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean tactically, I would have just put Kawhi on Klay and then kept Kyle on Iguodala, and I don't think any of the issues would have happened. You'd even have to double in the first place. But, you know, I mean, listen, you gotta load manage Kawhi so that he can, you know, score 17 points on 9 shooting possessions in the third quarter.
And the benefit of having Kawhi off of them, though, like having Kawhi and Siakam off, was like, A, they could switch on the screen.
Yep.
And then they would always leave either one of Kawhi or Siakam near the rim to contest on the 4-on-3.
That is true.
If they got the pass off, right?
Yep.
So, man. And that was it. Like, they were just like, yo, okay, we're going to let you go. You're going to put the ball in Steph's hand? All right, we're going to give you the 4-on-3.
Yep.
Now, please score with your 3 non-shooters.
Mm.
And, like, really, it was just like, all right, Draymond, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Oh, Draymond, he's going to flop into Kawhi's arms again and get the call. Wow. That's cool. But what did he have ultimately tonight? 6 points and 4 turnovers. Oh, wait, sorry, that was DeMarcus Cousins. My bad. Sorry, 10 points and 5 turnovers, actually.
Oof, negative 13. Eesh.
Incredible stuff. Remember when Draymond was at the podium with those, you know, basically Hakeem optical glasses, and he's just sitting there being like, oh, man, we're going to come here, win game 4, go on the road, win game 5, and come back in game 6. It's going to be good times. Listen, it's not
easy
good
to
times,
say.
Man.
I'm not going to lie.
Listen, those are fantasies, man. Those are fantasies, all right? Those are fantasies. These are not realities. So the third quarter there. So Raptors going to halftime. Objectively, the Raptors weren't playing that well. Defensively, they were playing good, but like realistically, like the offense was just in such a state where it was like, you're not going to win the whole game with just Kawhi. And the Raptors are only down 4 halftime. So you know what? On the road, you're going to take that. You're going to take that absolutely, right? Like, for example, the Warriors were only down 5 heading into halftime in game 2, and all of a sudden the third quarter happens, and all of a sudden they win the game, right? And as a Raptors fan, the positive side was like, listen, this is not that bad. And the negative side was I thought the Warriors were going to hit more than two threes in the second half. The Warriors ended up hitting more than two threes in the second half. They only made six in the second half, however. And the Raptors, I mean, the Raptors were incredible in the third quarter. 37 points. I thought more than anything else, the Warriors defensively, they just came apart. They came apart.
Oh, we forgot something. We forgot something at the end of the second quarter.
What?
Wasn't that when Nick Nurse put his genius cap on?
Oh, man. That's right.
End of the second quarter. Three minutes left. The end of the second quarter. The Warriors call a timeout. They're like, yo, we got to stop this bleeding.
And then the jankiness jumped out.
No, this was the third quarter. Sorry, I'm forgetting this. All right, okay. Let's keep going with third quarter. Yeah,
I was going to say, the second quarter, you're right. Because Nick Nurse did put on his thinking cap because he realized the offense wasn't really going. Let's just get size out there. Let's get some, you know, like he was putting Ibaka and Mark on the floor.
Oh, yeah, that was the two bigs.
Immediately when he put that lineup out there, Serge gets an offensive rebound for a putback. He was great.
And the second quarter was really weird because the Raptors were playing the two bigs lineup, and then Golden State was playing Bogut, McKinney, and then Steph Clay and Draymond, which is just a really weird lineup to see on the court on both teams.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know if I've seen these fives play against each other at all. Like,
never. And you'll never see it again. And then I thought what you were going to mention was because after a timeout with like about a minute 30 left, the Raptors went back to that box and won. And the Warriors were like, what? Wait, hold up, what?
I thought that was the third quarter, though.
No, that was the second quarter. This was the second quarter, right before halftime. They went to the box and won for three possessions.
Okay.
And the Warriors got a shot clock violation. They got like two, like so they got some free throws, and that's it. For three possessions, they got two free throws. That's pretty good defense.
The Raptors bring out the box and won. The Warriors get the 24-second violation, or they lose the ball, whatever it was. Raptors get a stop, come down, they get free throws. They're like, all right, fuck this. We're going to bring in a second shooter. They bring in Quinn Cook. Quinn Cook gets two open shots, bricks them both.
Yeah. Shout out Quinn Cook, man.
Shout out Quinn Cook.
Shout out Quinn Cook. The G League program, alive and well. Quinn Cook tonight, 0-0-1-1-0-0-0-0. Get my Sam Mitchell on. But so, yeah, so Raptors up, down four at halftime. Come out third quarter, 37-21. And remember, this is the Warriors' time. How many times have we heard about the Warriors' third quarter? It's like, oh, man, remember when they did that to Portland? Remember when they did that to Houston? And I'm just like, yeah.
Those teams suck.
Those teams suck, man. Those teams straight up suck, all right?
Like, yo, we just saw Austin Rivers basically saying, like, yo, his team was tactically, like, impaired the entire series.
Yeah.
They're like, when are we going to do something else against these guys? Like, yo, like, legit garbage teams.
He was like, yo, we have Chris Paul on our team. Do you think we'll make the conference finals? Are you serious?
Like, yo, the Warriors – oh, man, no slander. Sorry, I'll hold it for later. I'll hold it for after the series. Anyways.
Yep.
Anyways, going into it. So the second half starts, and one of the things I saw was key with Kawhi, and he did it at the beginning of the game and then the beginning of the second half, and I'm pretty sure this had to do with just, like, his leg. So I think what his idea was, like, yo, I'm coming out of treatment. My legs are fresh right out the gate at the start of each half. Let me go and get my shots, because he went and got his shot right away. Took that three, tested his legs out, got that three off right at the beginning of the first quarter. Comes in the second half, boom, takes his first two threes, bang, bang. Both of them were just leg checks. And the second one, if you see, he shot that one in momentum, so that gives you a little bit more lift. So he hit that one with lift, drains it, and then he had another pull up mid-range on McKinney, which he also hit. He didn't do a 2-foot stop into the lift. He just, like, it was a one foot lift, so he had momentum going into that mid-range shot. Gets you that little bit extra lift, bang, 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 three straight shots. It's like, boo. Right. Oh, boy.
You're talking about the physical lift. I'm talking about the emotional lift, because Warriors up four at the third quarter, right? Come out of halftime. What's the first possession that happens? Warriors don't score. Raptors get on transition. Fred passes it out in transition to Kawhi. Three, bang. It's a one-point game. What happens? Warriors come back down. Draymond has the ball. Kawhi's just like, give me that ball. And then runs the other way and pulls up. And all of a sudden, Raptors are up.
Hey, Kenny, there go that cyborg.
Yep.
I'll tell y'all, there go that cyborg.
Man.
God damn.
And again, like, he just proceeded to lay the smackdown on the Warriors. Like, whether it was driving to to get calls and stuff. You know what the crazy thing is? The Warriors decided, we're going to play Kawhi more in one-on-one situations. And I'm thinking, you guys have been great throughout this series by trapping and double-teaming Kawhi. Kawhi's had some weird situations where he's taking some bad shots. He's had some turnovers, whatever. But the Warriors have been very successful double-teaming Kawhi Leonard. All of a sudden, they're like, well, we gave up too many open looks in the first half. Let's try single coverage on Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi has 17 points.
Absolutely disintegrated, though. Quarter. And the best part is, like, the biggest stat that you got out of this game was Kawhi Leonard had zero turnovers.
None.
And he's been turning over the ball like crazy the last, like, the first three games of the series.
And that's what happens when you get Iggy and Draymond coming at you. You know what I mean? Those guys are great help defenders. But he put him one-on-one. Even Iguodala one-on-one on an island. I'm sorry, man. Iguodala, yo, bro, listen. You're more of an investor at this point than a basketball player. Like, yo, no, you can't do it. One-on-one, no. That's not it. It's not going to fly. It's not going to be it.
I thought Sean Livingston was more of an investor, but yeah, sure.
Mm. Was he?
Well, yeah, he was acting like one today, wasn't he?
Yo, speaking of investors, man, yo, the Warriors fans around me were having a time. Listen, early in the first quarter, Kyle drives, gets the free throw line, and I hear one fan scream out, yo, the guy should have pushed you harder. Speaking about, you know, Mark Stevens, the Warriors co-owner, which is, first off, trash behavior, and then support for such trash behavior. So that was pretty bad. And then later in the game, when Kyle got to the free throw line, and he was shooting two free throws, the one Warriors fan, a different Warriors fan, turned around at this Asian, you know, Raptors fan. Actually, I couldn't even tell if he was a Raptors fan or not, because I was assuming it sounded like he was cheering for the Raptors, but he wasn't wearing a jersey, so I can't be 100% sure. But he turned around and started screaming right in his face, just basically, you know, shut the F up, over and over and over again. And I was like, yo, I thought Mark Stevens was banned from the arena. So that was some Mark Stevens-ass behavior right there. But I guess the lower bowl for the Warriors is mostly, well, I mean, there's Raptors fans, and then there's, you know, Mark Stevens duplicates. Anyway, that guy got, you know, escorted out by security. So congratulations on playing yourself. You probably paid, like, probably a grand for that seat, and you decided to leave early, which was smart, actually, because, you know, you didn't get to see the Warriors lose. But anyway, third quarter. What else happened in the third quarter? Yo, I thought the Raptors just as a whole played really well. Kyle, I thought his playmaking throughout the game was phenomenal. You know, Fred obviously hit some big shots. Mark finally came alive in the third quarter. Pascal, you know, did his thing, was a little bit better than he was in the first half. And then Serge continued to be Serge.
Yeah. Man, that was nuts. I
can't believe Serge had 20 points.
See, that's just ridiculous. Like,
how do you give up 20 points to Serge Ibaka? Oh, my God.
And they were not difficult points. Like, one thing I want to shout out, though, yo, Kyle Lowry. Oh, my God. Like, if there's one highlight reel that someone needs to go and cut up, is all of Kyle Lowry's, like, pick-and-roll bounce passes.
Yes.
To the roll man. Because it's not even that he's, like, half a beat early. He's, like, a whole beat and a half early on that pass.
Yep.
Where it's, like, you feel like he needs to take another dribble before he throws that pass, and that pass is already gone.
Yeah.
Like, he just flicks it into the perfect spot well before he's even turned the corner on the hedge. And it's, like, damn. Like, my God. Like, because he created at least three Serge Ibaka roll buckets. And he created one Siakam roll bucket.
Yep.
And then, yeah, that was the third quarter was the sequence where Ibaka blocked McKinney, came down, and hit a three.
Yo, that's right. Oh, my God. Yo, Serge, man.
That's shameful behavior, letting Serge Ibaka hit a three, man. My God.
Ms. Enemy Sonde Millier, Mafuzi style. That's right. I looked up the lyrics, and my grade 9 French is not good. But Serge Ibaka was phenomenal throughout the game. And then, yo, so the Raptors basically blow the game open in the third quarter. And I thought, honestly, like, it wasn't just, like, great execution. It was also the Warriors defensively were just sloppy. Like, I don't know why you would play Kawhi in single coverage, but decide, oh, man, we got to trap Kyle Lowry. Like, word? Really? Kyle doesn't want to shoot. Kyle wants to slip the ball to Serge, to Mark, to Pascal, to whoever else is in that pick-and-roll situation, and he wants to do that. But, you know, Raptors dominated the third quarter,
and the Warriors were really trying to shortcut their way to try and build the lead up, because, like, it,
yep.
I'm not gonna lie, it did feel like they would hit a three, like Klay would hit a three, it seemed like, at every opportunity in the third quarter. Like, he got free for a few of them,
he
hit them, and, like, when I was watching the game, it felt like, oh crap, he hits that three, I'm like, god damn, we're down 9, I look at the score, we're down 2, or I look at the score, we're up 1, and I'm like, man, we're right there, like, even, like, the mood in this place is about to flip.
Mm.
And then you start hearing it, or you start hearing like Raptors score. There's more Raptors cheers. Warriors fans getting quieter and quieter as the third quarter rolls on, and then like the Raptors just put a shutdown. Like the final 5 minutes and 30 seconds. There was a 5-minute 30-second stretch in that third quarter, right?
Yep.
It was the fourth quarter, either the third or fourth quarter, where the Warriors did not score.
None. And yo, you know how shout out Brian Windhorst and the True Hoop podcast. It's pretty good. I like that podcast. Apparently they got Zach Lowe for the postgame one, so you know, listen to that one after this one. But you know how Windhorst likes to go on that that rant about how, oh, you know, like, you know, when you get into Scotiabank, like, there's a certain anxiety in that building. When things go bad, the fans really start getting quiet and it affects the players. That's what happened to the Warriors today. Because the only time I actually heard the Warriors fans chant at all in the fourth quarter was because during free throws, during stoppages, you would hear, "Let's go Raptors," from the section right behind the Raptors bench. And you would hear it throughout the arena. And they would get maybe three or four choruses in before Warriors fans start chanting, "Let's go Warriors," just to drown it out. That was literally the only time I heard the Warriors cheer. Everything else, they were nervous. They were panicked. All these investors were like, yo, what if the IPO doesn't come through? Like, yo, what happens? What happens? And
well, that's what happens when you haven't played like a competitive team in like 2 years, and now it's finally like, hey, you don't have your like security blanket, and hey, it's like, oh crap, we are not the more talented team. And honestly, I think like it's been a shock to everybody who's been watching that's not north of the border or not in the Eastern Conference. It's more, very much a Western Conference thing where people just did not realize.
Oh yeah,
that like this, no, like it's not, the Warriors are not the same team without Kevin Durant by any stretch of the imagination. Imagine like it should have been very obvious. It, like, if they don't have Kevin Durant, you just look at the rosters and you're like, the Warriors do not have five guys to defend the Raptors with.
Mm.
Who is their five-man lineup that is going to guard the Raptors for 48 minutes? Like, they're short a switchable big that can go from 1 to 5 or 1 to 4. Like, they just don't have that guy. And they're short one offensive player where they cannot play any lineups where they have more than two guys who can shoot the ball.
This is a fact.
Like how is that team going to match up? Like, we just watched the Sixers and the Bucks match up against the Raptors. And basically what the type of lineups that the Warriors are putting up there are just like supersized, like just like more talented Orlando Magic lineups.
Listen,
that are worse at defense. It's really pathetic. And it's like, how can you look at that matchup and say, oh, you know what? The Warriors are the better team. Can't count them out. Like, we just watched two series where the Raptors took like down much better opponents.
Yep.
Listen, much better opponents.
Against the Sixers, the worst Sixer starter was Tobias Harris. That was the worst. It was either him or JJ Redick, but I would say Tobias was worse in that series. But still, that's Tobias Harris, who the Clippers are going to re-sign for the max. That's Tobias Harris, all right? The Warriors are throwing lineups out there with the corpse of DeMarcus Cousins, with Andre Iguodala Andre Iguodala is averaging 7 points a game in the series, shooting 23% from the three-point line. DeMarcus Cousins is averaging 6 points a game, one of the worst defensive players I've ever seen in his current state. I'm just saying he's better than this when he's healthy, but honestly, not by that much. And then they're putting out Kevon Looney, who looks like Amir Johnson circa 2015. Alphonso McKinney, who, I mean, straight up is a success story, but also he was just in the Raptors G League system, and the Raptors were like, we're good. If you want to leave, we're happy for you, but we're good. Sean Livingston is on the brink of retirement. Quinn Cook is straight up
a G-leaguer. Sean Livingston, I thought, was having a really good game today because he hit jumpers for like the first time in like 3 weeks. And then you look at the box score, he's a negative 14.
And he had two jumpers.
Like, man.
And he can't defend anybody. Like, bro, Kyle is torching him. Pascal is torching him. Kawhi is torching him.
Age out.
What are you going to do?
Like, bro, they brought Andrew Bogut back from Australia for center depth. Like, this guy retired 2 years ago.
He's like, really?
What are we doing here? Like, they were playing Zaza over him.
They could have used Zaza. They could have used Zaza for the series. It's the only way they could have stopped Kawhi Leonard. Let's be real.
What team does Zaza play for?
Detroit. You know, Dwayne Casey was like, let me see who the rest of the league. Oh yeah, let me get Zaza. Let me just let me get Zaza.
Bro, man, it's been so long since like 28 other teams have played that I don't even remember the rosters of those teams. It's like, imagine not playing in June. Goddamn peasantry. Yo,
listen,
just straight peasantry.
This is great. And then
save it for later.
Let's wrap up the fourth quarter. Fourth quarter happens. The Warriors, I think they figured out their offense a little bit more. They scored 25 points. You know, I thought, you know, Curry was hitting some great shots. No slander to Curry whatsoever. He's an amazing player. Klay was hitting shots. He's a warrior. Like, the fact that the guy's playing through a bad hamstring is just incredible. Like, first off, shout out Modern, you know, Medicine. All right. He's probably taking something to just get himself healthy. And you know what? Whatever, man. Just do what you can. He's on the floor. His team high 28 points. He was phenomenal. Steph had 27. He was phenomenal. But the Raptors, oh, they just kept executing. This is like, oh, Kawhi will hit a corner three. And then Kawhi will drive and hit Danny for a corner three. And, you know, Kyle will get some, you know, assists. And Serge will continue to score. And then Pascal will hit clutch free throws. And Fred will, you know, I mean, I guess that's the most noteworthy thing in the fourth quarter was that Livingston went, drove to the rim hard. Serge met him at the basket, fouled him. And, you know, Livingston on the follow-through, when his arm came down, his elbow went straight into Fred's face, and Fred was bleeding. He lost a tooth. He needed 7 stitches. The Raptors somehow ruled he had no concussion, which, you know, all right, maybe he doesn't, but maybe he does. Anyway, nevertheless,
You know who probably really enjoyed that play was Jeremy Roenick. Did you know the Stanley Cup playoffs finals are happening right now?
Who the hell is Jeremy Roenick?
Dog, I don't even know. But apparently at NBA players need to take notice.
Oh, take notice of what?
Apparently the Stanley Cup finals are happening.
I did not know that. Stanley Cup? What the hell is that?
It's like a Larry O'Brien trophy, apparently.
Uh-huh.
But not.
Is that like the Grey Cup?
I'm not going to slander that. But on some reels, like, yo, Fred VanVleet, yo, lost a tooth. Gets his second eye cut open.
Mm.
The warrior B.
Listen, man. I mean,
only real warrior on the floor today, to be honest.
Oh, man. Listen, Fred took a selfie after the game. It looked like Post Malone.
God.
He's mangled. But, he was still hitting shots, you know?
Buddy. And it's honestly, I hope the Raptors do end up closing this out. And I hope they close out in game 5. I truly do think they are going to, because they've been the better team just flat out.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, even if KD comes back, I think they close it out just because, like, A, I don't think KD's coming back.
First off, KD's going to get on a 5.5-hour flight. How the hell is that going to help his injury? How the hell is that going to help Klay Thompson's injury? How's that going to help any of these
other
guys?
Doesn't have the injury. Like, yo, like, how, like, we watched, like, how do you go from just, like, street clothes to an NBA Finals elimination game and play well?
Listen, Kevin, you want to come out here? You want to get guarded by Kawhi Leonard? Be my guest.
Like, it's just not, like, I just don't, like, I don't think, I think they know it. I think the reporting has shown that they know it, that he's not going to play.
I mean, listen.
Even if he does play, I'm not terribly worried, because what's his stamina going to be? Because they're going to need him for 45 minutes.
Yep.
Is he really, does he have the stamina to play 40-plus minutes?
And he's got
to
guard one of Pascal or Kawhi. So that's a hard assignment. It's not like he's just going to chill and guard Danny Green.
Yeah, so I do think the Raptors are going to close it out in Game 5. I honestly do hope so. Which is, I think, the crazy part, because, like, after Game 7 against Philly, that was the one where, like, that was the cathartic release, right? Where just, like, holy crap, it's not over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the playoff, like, we're still going to be here.
Yep.
And then after Game 3 against the Bucks was when I felt it, where I was like, yo, we got this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can get this series. And then Game 5 just cemented it, right? We're like, yo, it's over.
Yep.
And dog, this was Game 5 against Milwaukee.
This was Game 5 against Milwaukee.
Yeah, and then we get out to Game 1, and, you know, you win Game 1. Game 1, it was, like, I wasn't worried personally.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching, I was like, I felt confident.
Same.
And you win that game, and you're like, yo, we can do this.
Oh, they're just a regular team.
They're lacking. They're just lacking something.
I mean,
and in Game 2, you come out, and Game 2, it's like, you have this historic collapse.
Yep, that's true.
Right?
That's true.
Historic drought. Yep. Which, like, looking back, if the Raptors win this in Game 5, I don't mind that.
Yeah, whatever.
Because it would have really sucked to win this championship in Oracle.
Oh, man. Well, I was gonna say.
The scene after a Game 5 championship, like, just to think about it, like, they came out with the trophy after Game 6 against the Bucks to Jurassic Park, right?
Yeah, and actually it was funny because security had ushered people out, so
I don't know if they risked it after game five, but imagine they just start a parade from midnight.
I mean, listen.
Goddamn.
Okay, first off, so before every game, the PR staffs of the NBA, they prepare, like, notes for people. And you can look through it, and it has cool stats like, oh, the Warriors haven't lost a game one 12 straight games. Why actually that got snapped. Anyway, so they give you this sheet. It's like a booklet. It's got a whole bunch of stats in there. It helps people, you know, on the broadcast. It helps people on their articles, you know, just, you know, it saves people time. They do the research. One of the things that stood out from the booklet was the Raptors had somehow, apparently the Raptors had 34 Jurassic Parks across the country. That's actually false. The Raptors have 35 Jurassic Parks. One of them is at Oracle Arena. And I was at the game. I was at the game. I was wrapping up in my section, which was in the lower bowl. And normally I would go down to the, you know, event area, and then I would go, you know, sit at the podium and, you know, watch Nick Nurse answer questions, watch Kawhi answer questions that, you know, clearly he's not going to indulge in the storyline, things like this. Normally that's what I would do. Usually the media, the game ends, the media is all rushing towards there. Today I was like, you know what? I could watch this on YouTube. I could watch this on Yahoo Sports Canada. Shout out. Amit's got this video right now. Keyshawn's probably got the video right now. I'm just going to go to the court, and I just want to see the scene. I just want to see the scene. Maybe get like one or two social videos, and then I'll make my way to the podium, and we'll see what's going on there. The Raptors fans there. First off, there were probably about 400 fans, I would say, enough to fill about two sections.
I've got to say, like, you were talking about how, like, fans at Oracle were leaving early.
Yeah.
I got to say, I find that weird, because I don't know why they'd have to beat traffic, since, like, most of the fans stayed in the arena after the game anyway. So even if you left after the game, you could have, like, easily gotten out.
That's true.
Yeah, like, most of the fans stuck around for, like, 30 minutes after anyways, right?
30, 40 minutes.
At least half the arena.
People chanting. Super fan Nav, you know, being mobbed by the crowd, blowing kisses to the crowd. You know what I mean? I mean, the scenes were incredible, man. The amount of Raptors fans, you know, like, it's not even just like singing "Oh Canada." That's done. You know what the next level of patriotism is? Chanting CBC at CBC reporters. They saw, I believe it was Nathan Downer of the CBC with his mic that has the CBC logo on it, and they started chanting CBC. I mean, it was a wild scene. People were crazy. Listen, Jurassic Park number 35. That was only 35 in the building. I'll say that much. But anyway, it was an incredible scene. You know, shout out Shankar, obviously in the crowd. Shout out Ravi. The fact that, like, I actually know some people that were in that crowd was just, it was surreal. Just like, you know, I'm standing on the court. I'm looking at these fans. They're chanting like crazy. Like, they didn't stop until Warrior Security decided, all right, we got to break up this mob. We got to tell people to go home. And even then, people were still chanting. And this was like a good 40 minutes after the game. So shout out Raptors fans, man. Shout out Raptors fans. Shout out UW for sending so many graduates out to Silicon Valley. So not only are they here geographically, but they have the finances to do so.
Shout out to Silicon Valley for deciding that they weren't going to pay American labor, so they were going to get cheaper Canadian labor and fly them out.
Listen, shout out
thank you for giving them the means to go to these overpriced games.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
Like,
hey, man, at least these fans from Toronto, at least these fans got their money's worth. You know, they didn't leave the last game of Oracle Arena early. Because that's what was happening. That's what was happening. People were clearing out en masse as the Raptors carried out.
It's so nuts, man. Like, the Raptors literally are one game away from an NBA championship.
I can't believe it, man. I can't. It's all surreal. Like, just speaking personally,
from where the season started to where you're at now, like, it's unbelievable. Like,
yo, remember watching Kawhi go to work in that first half against Utah, and you're like, oh. I mean, I know this is preseason, but this
boy
is
different.
He was getting like a bucket every time, and I was like, oh, this is different. I know this is Derek Favors at 30%, you know, just going through the motions, but this is different. Who was it? Kyle Collinsworth started the game because he's from Utah, and he was on the Summer League squad or something.
And like watching like the in-arena like cam feed of the Pelicans, preseason game.
Yo, did you watch that?
Yes. Here's
the thing. It wasn't even on League Pass. You had to go to a streaming site where they had a direct in-arena feed because it wasn't televised. It wasn't anywhere. Literally, it was like the 50 people that were there in, you know, at Smoothie King Center watching this game, and what they saw was and the Pelicans, by the way, they started their whole starting five for the fifth game of preseason, and the Raptors were playing the second half of back-to-back, and they didn't even send half their guys. They just said, Pascal, go out there with, like, OG and Malcolm Miller. And Pascal was giving...
26?
What's that?
He dropped, like, 32 or 26 in, like, three quarters or something, right?
And most of those were on AD. And it was like, oh, word. This man is not only going to win the starting power forward spot for the Raptors, but he's going to win most improved player. And, oh, man. Get a bunch of all-NBA votes. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. And then JV goes down against the Warriors, and the Raptors said, you know what? As a payback, we're going to trade JV for Marcus Gasol, and we're going to see you again in the finals, and we're going to see what's up.
And, yo, and that's another thing. Shout out to Marcus Gasol. Serge got his fifth foul in the fourth quarter, and that was when the Warriors were still in, like, that 8-11 point. I think Steph hit a three to make it 8 points. Raptors come down. They trap Kawhi. They swing it to Gasol. Gasol swings it to the corner to Lowry. I think Iguodala switches over. Lowry drives hard, kicks it back out to Gasol. End of the shot clock. Or is that Fred kicked it to him? Whatever, however it worked out. Fred kicks it to him. End of the shot clock. And he just nails a three. And I think it's like his second shot since subbing in because he had missed the earlier three.
Yep.
And boom, back up to 11. And it's like, man, Gasol has not played for, I think, a solid, like, 20 minutes of, like, real time at that point. Because Ibaka closed out the third and started the fourth. And it's like, man.
Well, I think they're going to hit
that
more
shot. Like, it's a big shot. And, like, Mark was not playing well to start the game offensively, at least, by any stretch of the imagination. Like, the dude was just not there. He did dunk the ball, though. Surprisingly enough. Every time Marc Gasol dunks, I get surprised.
Yes, me too. But right now, Marc Gasol has more hops than DeMarcus Cousins. And that is a fact. That is factual. I mean, look, this is what I said out top. I'm going to say it again. Right now, with the two teams the way they are, Raps are better. Raps are better.
And we knew that. That's the crazy part.
This is,
like,
what I'm saying.
That should have been known.
Listen,
like,
who was saying Raps in five? Who was saying Raps in five? I mean, I was saying it as a joke, but I also believed it. Raps in five.
Like, I told a lot of people Raps in five before this series started. Well, I'm like, look, if they don't have KD, it's Raps in five. If they have KD, it's still Raps in five.
Okay, relax. So, like, relax. Nah, if they had KD healthy, this will be worse. And eight.
Nah.
Remember what Steve Kerr said? Raps in eight? Hilarious joke, Steve. Hilarious. Funny joke, man. It's such a good joke.
I think it's going to be really surreal. If they close it in game five, I think what you're going to see from the Warriors is going to be really surreal. Because every press conference.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you've seen them. They haven't. It hasn't settled in for them that, like, they could lose yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Like, you can just tell. Like, they're very at ease, which, like, they should be.
Yeah, of course, of course.
But I don't think they understand yet how close they are to losing.
Yep.
And I think you started to see it at the end of this game where they kind of realized, like, oh, crap.
They're like, oh, shit, we need to win this game, and we blew it.
Yeah, where there's only 4 minutes left, and they're like, yo, we're down 13.
Mm.
Shit. And, man, yeah. I still can't believe it. Like, after game three, I realized, I'm like, we're going to win this series. And it was like this entire day today, I just felt nothing. Like, no fear. Just confidence, like, through it wasn't even like, it was like you'd already reached an acceptance, like, yo, it's gonna happen. And Monday might be the craziest day of, like, I don't think, like, I still can't fathom it. I'll be honest, like, I keep talking, I really don't know what these words coming out of my mouth are, because I can't even fathom what that would be like for them to win it.
Yeah. And no, listen, let's not,
because that's it. Like, yo, you win a championship, the season is over.
Yeah, me too. I'm still not fully ready for the fact that we don't have a Raptors game every other day on TV to watch. You know what I mean? Like, if we don't have that rallying point. But, you know, for a title, we still got the parade and stuff like that. So, look, let's not get ahead of ourselves, though. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's not talk about that. The Raptors, obviously, they got to come home. They got to focus. They got to clear it out. They got to close it out. One thing I really liked. Players coming off the court for the Raptors, nobody's making no jokes. Nobody was doing nothing. They asked Kyle Lowry about his mindset going into game five. You know, he's like, yo, I haven't done anything yet. We haven't done anything yet. You know what I mean? It's laser focus. And when Kawhi came to the podium, you know, Kawhi was doing his usual, I mean, he's not even doing. He was just being.
And there's himself. Good reason for it, right? Like yeah. You're looking at this team. You got like Kyle Lowry. Like Kyle Lowry, he's lost literally over and over and over again.
Yeah.
In the Eastern Conference Finals, you've got Marc Gasol. Like you can go like these are like this is all the dead bodies like that the Warriors have left.
Mm.
Their first championship.
Yep.
They killed Marc Gasol in the Western Conference Finals.
I mean, they killed Grit and Grimes.
Memphis was up 2-1. Memphis was up 2-1.
Yeah.
And they decided, yo, we're just gonna throw. Bogut on Tony Allen, and we're just gonna embarrass this and call it a day. And they whipped them in six. They won three in a row, ripped them off. Marc Gasol probably hasn't played significant playoff basketball since.
And he got like eight coaches fired. You know what? Never mind.
Yeah.
Never mind.
And then the next year, and so that was the first year of Golden State's run. They kill Marc Gasol, who's on this team now with a chance to win a championship. Then the following year, Serge Ibaka, his OKC team's up 3-1. They were up 3-1 on this Golden State 73-win team.
Yep.
This core of Draymond, Steph, Klay, Iguodala, Bogut.
Steve Kerr.
Livingston. Like, six of the guys that are on that team right now,
yep.
A lot older, of course.
Oh, they old.
Serge's been here. Serge has been literally in this spot before.
Yes.
And then that was his last significant game because he got traded after they lost that.
To Orlando.
And now he's finally back in this spot, and he gets a chance to win a ring.
Mm.
And then you've got Kawhi Leonard, who literally had like his career flash in front of his eyes
because you got to this Golden State
that he was whipping. He was whipping them.
26 points in 24 minutes.
And then they dirtbag cheap shot him out of the series.
Yep.
Whether he admits it or not, probably pissed off. And then Danny Green, he had to play him twice in a row. He got whipped by him 2 years. First he watches them take out Kawhi Leonard, and then he gets like, what, the gentleman sweep?
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, like, this is like a team filled with dudes who have just, like, had to
Looking
take the
for revenge.
Shit. God.
Yeah, no, I should have let you do that. You're the better singer.
Oh, my God. It's insane. Man, I don't even know what to say.
You know, I will say one thing. Shout out Golden State for, I don't remember this, 2013 in November. Raps are on the road because they always go on the road in the West in early November or December. 2013, the team wasn't playing well. They had just had that game where, like, Rudy Gay shot 37 times against Houston, which we went from Rudy Gay shooting 37 times to Kawhi Leonard shooting 30 times. We deserve this. Anyway, Raptors go into Golden State. I think they're up, like, 27 points. And then they blow the whole thing. And a couple days later, Rudy Gay gets traded. The Raptors go on this, you know, I mean, they wanted to tank. They're about to trade Kyle Lowry. Apparently, Iman Shumpert had like a hot month, and they were like, we can't trade Iman Shumpert for Kyle freaking Lowry. And then the Raptors win 48 games that year. They turn it around, and they launch this entire Way the North run, and now we're here a couple years later. But without that loss to Golden State, I'm telling you.
You know, people forget after the trade, we beat the Lakers. That was a good win. But we also beat OKC on that trip.
Yo, shout out Amir Johnson OKC. One time. In that game against the Lakers, he was amazing.
Yeah, Amir Johnson killed the Lakers, and then we beat OKC in OKC.
Yes.
We did. Shout out Serge Ibaka. Shout out Kevin Durant. Shout out Russell Westbrook. We beat them.
Yeah, that's true.
And then it became this. This
we
is
beat
nuts.
Indiana. I remember that game. Terrence Ross was like snapping against – I didn't say he outplayed Paul George, but he was incredible. I think he had like six threes in that game and guarded Paul George, you know.
Hey, yo, honestly, like 2019, Paul George, Terrence Ross, both out in the first round, so.
Tough.
Makes you think.
Playoff P. I mean, look, I'm not a big fan of the Spicy P nickname, but Playoff P is objectively worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good God. Oh, my God. I can't. I'm sorry, this makes for a terrible podcast. No, I literally don't have words for this. Like, God damn.
No, this is honest. The whole point of the podcast is to capture a emotional point in time. In the immediate aftermath of what happened. And by the way, breaking report, all right? I'm going to read this to you from Joe Varden of The Athletic. Quote, the team most associated with Leonard as far as a landing spot in free agency are the Clippers. Their confidence in Leonard picking them in a few weeks has been reportedly high for much of the year. But league sources said over the last few days, the Clippers are seeing what we're seeing. Leonard leading the team for which he currently plays to the brink of its first NBA title. The Clippers, whose sources said, feel confident Leonard will answer the phone when they call on June 30th, But beyond that, there is no way to know what impact Leonard's finals run will have. Though sources said the Clippers spend most of their time in meetings preparing for scenarios in which he doesn't come to Los Angeles. End quote. You'll love to see that. You just love to read things like that.
Yo, how pathetic is it that I thought LA teams would learn by now. Not to spend the entire goddamn season talking about how you're going to get a player. You just watched the Lakers do that for 5 years in a row and not land anybody.
Well, the Clippers are the super discount Lakers. So, it's not a surprise they would do this.
That's so pathetic.
You think Lawrence Frank spent a whole winter in Toronto and a really brutal winter at that weather-wise just to not get Kawhi Leonard? you think Lawrence Frank is looking in his closet and he's like, I got boots in here. I got a Canada Goose jacket. I got a bunch of sweaters. I got some gloves. And he's like, I don't need any of this. I live in Los Angeles. And I was dispatched to watch Kawhi Leonard have great games for the Raptors and then stay with the Raptors. It's unfortunate. I'm just saying, if you're Lawrence Frank.
It's wild. The Clippers really have Jerry West on his iPad, refreshing the New Balance site, trying to buy all the fun guy t-shirts. That's pretty pathetic that they have him doing that, know what I mean?
That's unfortunate. Yeah, I wonder what their scenarios they're discussing.
Steve Ballmer using his Microsoft resources to set up bots to buy out all of New Balance's stock.
Oh, definitely. Oh, man. Steve Ballmer on his Windows phone trying to call Messiah, text Messiah on BBM. Not working. It's great. It's a great feeling. Remember when the Clippers were like, yo, I don't care that we lost in the first round. We took two games off the Warriors. Listen, man, three is more than two.
And here's the thing. Who cares?
Yeah.
If the Raptors, win this all, who cares?
Cool. Who Congratulations, gives a goddamn, bro. Imagine bragging about a first round exit. Just imagine.
Honestly, I want a DVD. I will buy a physical Blu-ray that has every single game of this season saved on it and just watch it for the next 60 years of my life.
Yes.
I don't need to see another NBA season after this if this happens.
Oh, I mean, all right? I mean,
so who cares?
Next year.
Who cares? Dog, this is all do because you need a job. I get it.
Listen.
But honestly, I could spend the next six. Honestly, yo, why don't we just do a reaction podcast of us rewatching this Raptors season?
Don't spoil my August content, please. What else am I gonna do?
You doing binge mode, buddy?
Me and Sean Woodley on the rewatchables. It's good times.
Get to the last game of the finals, and you both start crying.
Yeah, listen, I already cried after the Milwaukee game. If you watch a YouTube channel that I may or may not have, I may or may not have said multiple things in that video that you may or may not find on YouTube under my actual name. But
I'll be honest, game seven against the Sixers with 2 minutes left, I had to get off my couch. I had to walk to the kitchen and just find myself a napkin because I was tearing up. I thought it was over. I really deep down, holy crap, it's going to be over. I was stressed. Nah. I had stress tears. And I was like, damn, I can't believe where we're at. This is crazy.
Let's go to three stars. All right, because the series is not over. Raptors are going to go home in five. But I will say that the Raptors have a good chance to close out in five. And I think you agree. Three stars. Number one, Kawhi Leonard. 36 points in 40 minutes and 34 seconds. 11 of 22 from the field. 5 of 9 from the three-point line. 9 of 9 from the free throw line. 12 rebounds. Boardman gets paid. 2 assists. 4 steals. 0 turnovers. Plus 13. One of the best finals performances in history.
Yo, and shout out Kawhi for trying to behind the back. Just behind his head, he just tried to throw up a layup in the first quarter. Where you're just like, oh, man, I'm not getting this foul call. Screw it. I'm not going to kick it out. Let me just try to toss it over my head and hopefully get it in. He did that in a finals game, man.
Bro, he's had as many 30-point outings now as Kobe and MJ.
What's crazy is I think the odds on the over-unders on him was 29.5 over-under Kawhi scoring. And I'm like, yo, over. How is Kawhi not going to score 30 points? He scores 12 at the free throw line for free, every game.
For real. The only time Kawhi scores under 30 points is when the Raptors win and they have, 35 assists. It's the only time because he has to sit early and, they're trapping him and he's passing the ball. 36 points for Kawhi. Number one star. Who you got for second star?
Second star, Serge Ibaka, boss.
Oh, yeah.
Like, come on.
Definitely.
Mafuzi, yo. Good. Goddamn. 20 points. What do you have? 6 rebounds? 2 blocks?
Yep.
And I think he had an assist in this game, too, which is nuts.
Yo.
Sorry, 4 rebounds, an assist. Oh, beautiful.
Listen.
2 blocks. 9 of 12.
Listen.
9 of 12.
At one point, I think Kyle Lowry found Serge rolling to the rim. And Draymond fully helped and was about to block Serge. And you know what Serge did? He kicked it to the wide open corner shooter. And, you know, unfortunately, Pascal missed a shot. But that has to be the first time I've seen Serge actually make an extra pass instead of shooting the ball on the roll. That's how good it was, man. That's how good it was.
Oh, my God. And shout out, yo, oh my God, random play, just remembered. And just because it was another Serge Ibaka play, right? Or was it Gasol? Where they kicked it out to Leonard got trapped. He kicked it out to whoever the big was in the middle.
Mm.
I think it was Serge. It was Serge.
Yep.
Serge kicks it to the wing to Lowry. Lowry looks off to the dunker spot because Iguodala has to come over, and that's where Siakam is, and then whips the pass right back to Serge at the top of the free throw line for the free roll to the rim.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, man, what a freaking pass.
This is a great team effort, man. Just a great game.
So who's the third star in this game? I'm guessing it's Lowry.
Lowry?
Yeah, it's got to be.
You know what's crazy? I can't believe Pascal finished with 19 points.
Oh, yeah. Well, he stat padded in the fourth quarter.
That's true. Obviously, honestly, I thought Fred and Kyle both played amazing.
Yeah.
So let's just give it to the collective point guard position for the Raptors.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, Fred, 8 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, plus 12.
It's crazy how our point guards have a combined 2 working thumbs.
That is true. Yeah. Like if they couldn't beat you in PlayStation right now, but they could beat you in basketball. And Kyle, 10 points, 7 assists, 2 rebounds, 3 steals. Yo, there was one play, by the way, I gotta shout out Kyle. In the fourth quarter there, I think the ball had been like dumped down to Looney underneath the rim, and he was about to go up for a layup, and Kyle literally dove and poked the ball from his hands and prevented the layup, and it went out of bounds.
And the one where he stepped out of bounds while he was poking it out, so they called the out of bounds.
It's not a steal, and it's not a block, and it's nothing. It's just, you know, an inbound play. It doesn't get recorded in the box score whatsoever. That's the kind of shit that Kyle Lowry does every single day.
And shout out that one in the first half where Kawhi just like swatted a pass out of the air directly to Kyle.
Yo.
Kickstart a transition. He's just like, get this out of here.
That was the fourth quarter, man. The Warriors were getting sloppy in the fourth quarter.
Oh my God.
Honestly, the Raptors offense in the fourth quarter was just the Warriors are going to screw up and we're going to hit an open shot. Period.
Yeah, and then Steph just started playing desperate. He started like randomly helping off on defense, leaving Danny Green open for God knows why.
Yeah.
Man, what a goddamn game.
What a game.
Yo. Also, yo, just talking about PlayStation earlier, yo, if you're out there, apparently you can get 2K for like $2.99 right now. So if you guys want, get 2K and you can add me and Will and we will play you guys over the summer.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks.
Why not?
Thanks for volunteering my time, guys. Yeah, I will be on there. Yeah. Shout out Tangent Poppy. All right. The Gerald Henderson Award. I would give it to Looney, but I thought in second half Looney was really poor. So what I'm actually going to do is give it to Clay. And, you know, it's like the same thing. I gave Steph the Gerald Henderson Award after game 3. And that was no disrespect whatsoever. I love watching the Splash Brothers. I love it. Just any basketball fan has to love watching these guys. But, I mean, realistically, Clay, under the conditions that he came in today, where he had to just be a badass and play through this hamstring injury.
That one third quarter or fourth quarter three that Clay hit.
Yeah.
Where he got the ball on the right wing. He pump fakes the first defender off.
Mm-hmm.
He comes around the screen. Siakam switches onto him. He pump fakes Siakam one way. Siakam standing flat. He just like Clay just shifts his weight from the right to the left and then takes a shot.
Sensational. Siakam standing there.
And it's like, bro, he had to like he threw off 3 defenders. Basically, he had a pump fake on the catch, goes around the screen, does a head fake. Takes another dribble, gets Siakam going one way, head fakes, switches feet, shifts his weight back over, and then nails a shot in his eye. And I'm like, God damn, man.
He is so good, man. Just a badass performance by Klay Thompson. And honestly, I'm giving the Gerald Henderson Award to him because he was the only Warrior tonight that deserved to win. 11 of 18 from the field, 6 of 10 from the three-point line. You know, just an incredible performance by Klay and super gutsy. And it's, you know, we'll see what happens when he's on a plane for about 5.5 hours going back to Toronto. And we'll see, you know, if his health improves or doesn't improve. But, I mean, seriously, that was an incredible showing by Klay, and I just have so much respect for the guy. And then the Patrick Patterson Award. A couple candidates here. Iguodala, 3 points. Ooh, 3 points, man. Meanwhile, his defensive assignment, Kawhi Leonard, 36. And that's an option. I thought Draymond played a poor game. You know, that's an option there. DeMarcus Cousins, obviously, with a very poor game. I mean, who are you giving the Patrick Patterson Award to?
Man, I don't even know. They played so badly. Like, who are you going to give it to? Like, frick. Alfonso McKinney only played 8 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah, you know what? We talked about Alfonso a lot. Alfonso, I'm sorry, man. Listen, man. Listen, you and Jaume Mahalalela got to get back together.
30 seconds. I felt like he just, every time he was out there, he just was the center of every play. Yeah, I can't believe he's only 8 minutes. That's nuts. You know what's wild to me? Like, I swear that the Warriors were starting Damian Jones as center at some point in the last series or something, and he didn't even play. Jonas Jurepko did not even play today.
No.
Like, they have so... How random is their life? Yo, what? Bob Myers, what the hell was he doing?
Seriously. As a general manager, it's like, unforgivable.
What is their roster construction?
Yo, and when did the Warriors ever get a buyout guy? You know what I mean? Like, championship teams always had a buyout guy. Like, look at the...
Yeah, honestly.
It's just a lot of championships getting buyout guys. Where are the buyout guys on this team? Like, yo,
how do they not get Jody Meeks? How do they not end up with Jeremy Lin? Like, not that he's any use, but, you know.
How dare you? How dare you?
Come on.
What do you mean?
Hey, yo, if you actually check Basketball Reference right now.
You know how much money Jeremy Lin is making for the Raptors right now just by being on the
team? You know Jeremy Lin has a 0 offensive rating apparently right now? In the finals?
Wow. So we're talking stats, huh? What about the games we played in the finals? Did we win or not? 100% win percentage in the finals. How's that for a stat?
Sure. But yeah, like, honestly, I don't understand how the Warriors, like I would love to see and go back, like, to their free. Like, they still could have given the vet minimum, right? They still could have given the mini mid-level, right? The taxpayer mid-level or whatever?
Sure, yeah.
Like, how do they get nobody? Like, what do they end up giving Boogie?
They gave Boogie like $5 million. They gave Boogie the money that they were paying to Nick Young.
God damn. How the hell did they end up with so much garbage on their roster?
Well, Bob Myers is a... he's done a great job building this team, no doubt. But then KD walks into your lap and, like, you know.
I don't know how good of a job he did building this team. Let's be really, really honest with him. Like, because he came in... Who did they draft? Like, who did he draft?
I think he drafted the whole team.
Did he?
Well, I mean, not Steph and not Klay, but the rest of the guys.
So he drafted Draymond.
Oh, bro, Festus
Azili. Which they got lucky with. They got lucky with Draymond because they didn't even think Draymond was anything. And then they lucked out in that first playoff run. But like, oh, crap, we have something here. Great. They literally lucked into KD. Like, they just happened to have salary cap space for him.
Yeah, and KD decided to join the team.
Yeah, KD decided to join them. The same way the Lakers did nothing. I can't believe... Oh, yeah, by the way, shout out William Liu for giving Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka the executive of the year.
Yo, bro, why you got exposed like this? Why you got exposed?
I still can't believe you did that.
Why you got exposed? Listen to Pound the Rock. Still, support my guys.
We're basically... Like to give guys executive of the year just because, like, guys make lifestyle decisions. Like, KD wanted to move to San Francisco because he thought it was popping and wanted to get his rings. Like, Bob Myers, I don't know if he actually did anything. Like, who has he filled the roster with? Like, name one person off the Warriors bench over the last, like, 3 or 4 years that is, like, oh, that's a shrewd pickup. They didn't get one good ring chaser? Like, David Lee is their best ring chaser?
Okay. I don't know why this turned into a Bob Myers slander podcast. But I will say that, first off, the Warriors players have been pretty happy over the years. You know, he's dealt with that all right. He got Draymond and Klay to sign cheap extensions. He got Andre Iguodala on the team. He's done some work. He got Sean Livingston. And, you know, like, obviously this sounds inconsequential now because those guys are kind of old, but like, come on, those guys were championship pieces. Oh, by the way, who, you know who else I saw on the court today? Leandro Barbosa and Superfan Nav, you know, hugging each other, which I thought was a very random scene, but I was very happy to see it. Shout out Raptors legend Leandro Barbosa.
Yo, he was like our best shooting guard for a long time.
I'm not even kidding you when I say
like,
that
he's Leandro like, Barbosa is he, took, he's like, he's top five shooting guard in Raptors history, right?
He took 18 shots a game as a Raptor.
He was legit good as a Raptor, which is sad. I don't even know if he was actually good, but he was like a...
Oh, sorry. That's not 18 shots per game. Sorry. He didn't play that many minutes. But per 36 minutes in the 42 games that Leandro Barbosa played for the Raptors, he shot...
You only played 42 games?
He only played 42 games for the Raptors.
Oh, my God. I remember so much of him, though.
He, per 36 minutes, he shot 17.3 shots per game. These are field goals, not just assists. Or not just field free throws or shooting percentages and stuff like that. No, not shooting possessions. 17.5 actual field goal attempts per 36 minutes. And then, after the Raptors featured him as a major part of the offense, he got traded to Indiana for like a 55th round pick. Seriously. That's all we got for devoting half the season to empowering Leandro Barbosa, and Barbosa did nothing for Indiana. That was also the year, I think Indiana added someone else that year. I forget who it was, but it didn't really work out that great for Indiana.
Man, it's crazy what our roster is right now. We had, like, I just remember we had Mikal Petras on our team, didn't we?
We had Mikal Petras on the team, yep.
Oh my God.
Yep. Yeah, the Raptors, I mean, we came a long way, man. We came a long way. That 2011-2012 roster, from start to finish on Basketball Reference, Solomon Alibi, Allen Anderson, Leandro Barbosa, Andre Bargnani, Jared Bayless, Rasul Butler, Jose Calderon, Anthony Carter. Remember him? That was cool. Ed Davis, Justin Dentman, DeMar DeRozan, Gary Forbes, Aaron Gray, Amir Johnson, James Johnson, Linus
Klaser. We had Gary Forbes?
We had Gary Forbes. We had Linus Klaser. We had Jamal McGlure. Not as a coach. As a player.
As a player.
And Ben Uzo.
Oh, man. We had Sebastian Telfair as a point guard at one point. And I remember that because yes. Sebastian Telfair the had game? The best. He had the best three-point on 2K. So I'd always start him.
Oh, my God.
It would be him, like Terrence Ross, Rudy Gay, DeMar DeRozan. And it would just be throwing full-court lobs. Shout out 2K12.
By the way, that 2011-2012 season, that final game of the year, that was the Ben Uzo game where he had that like super trash triple-double. And Solomon Alibi had like... What do you have? 19 rebounds off the bench. Solomon Alibi. But the
dog. Imagine playing your last game of the season in like April.
Yeah, that's tough. And imagine playing to lose so that you have better lottery odds. And the Raptors ended up playing themselves out of the sixth pick, which they could have used on Damian Lillard. But instead, they got to the eighth pick. And they lost a coin flip, by the way, between the Warriors and the Raptors. And the Warriors got Harrison Barnes, and the Raptors got Terrence Ross. So, anyway, those are dark times. The Raptors obviously are on the brink of the finals. Let's not think about these past grievances aside.
Yo, and honestly, shout out to the Raptors for being able to just focus on the next game, because clearly we can't.
No, we really can't. We're jumping ahead of ourselves.
You try to. I really can't stop.
I know. But listen. They're really going to do this thing, man. And, like, I wrote about it after the game, too. I was like, listen, what it will take to get the Warriors to come back in this series would be something of a miracle. They would either need the Raptors, who have the most unflappable superstar of all time, to somehow choke out of character. But maybe that's...
It would take an injury. Like,
it would
like
take
the
that.
Raptors would need an injury.
And I'm not
the Warriors
right now.
Would need to really win Game 5.
Yep.
The Raptors would need an injury. And then game six, like, they would, even if they won game six, they'd still have to come back and win a game seven.
Yeah. And they have to somehow have KD walk through that door perfectly healthy in the finals MVP form. It's a lot.
It's a lot. Like, it's a lot. The mood, 100%. Like, this team, you look at them play, and it looks like the end of a dynasty. Like, this is what an end of a dynasty roster looks like. You have, like, these all-time greats who just can't seem to, like, click at the same time.
Yeah.
You've got, like, these guys who've kind of aged out.
And they never see it coming.
And you don't see it coming. Like, this is what the Lakers roster looked like when they got destroyed by Dallas, where it's like, yo, nah, we can win this. Don't worry. It's like, oh, it's Kobe at the post game. So it's like, just got to win four games.
And then it's Peja Stojakovic hitting a bunch of threes. In this case, it's
VanVleet. and then it's just over, right?
Like
and
Miami
the same
Heat,
thing happened with Miami. They're like, no, we can win. They're up. They were just wrapped up. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, Dwayne Wade's knee, it doesn't matter how much of a superstar you were, you're not going to be able to break that injury. You're not going to conjure enough to win this. Mm. Like, I don't care how great LeBron James is or how great Steph Curry is right now. The team is just depleted. It's over. You've got, like, two guys who are ready to retire on your roster.
Yeah.
Right? You're bringing out, like, aged guys, like, out of retirement, whether it's Haslam or whether it's Bogut.
Bogut,
like,
from Australia.
This is what the roster looks like. This is what the roster looks like
these
when you're
facts.
Over.
These are not slander. This is fact. We're going to keep the slander. We will do the slander. Honestly,
oh,
I
yeah.
think after the Raptors, you know, when the season is over, I think I might do a podcast telethon that's going to be like 5 hours, five separate podcasts where I have too many people in my life that I want to call and speak to. And, you know, you and Sahal are going to be on the slander pod for sure. But, like, this is not
20,
the slander pod. Just
29 team slander pod. Honestly, it's on the table.
It's going to take some time, but listen, the Atlanta Hawks are going to have it. They're going to get it for sure.
Yeah.
Taurean Prince, my pick for most improved player. How dare you? How dare you not come through? That was a flex. I saw him like drop like 25 points on like Pau Gasol and the Spurs in preseason. I was like, that guy right there, he's going to be great. And then he like had like 15 points a game and was kind of hurt for half the year. But anyway, we don't need to talk about that. Asad, thanks for coming on the podcast. The Raptors are up 3-1 in the NBA Finals. We're one win away. In my ear, in my mind, I'm still picturing that scene where I'm staring out at like 600 Raptors fans just chanting nonstop, let's go Raptors, one more game, you know, CBC, things like this. And these are memories that I'm going to have for a lifetime. And, you know, the crazy part is that we're only going to get more scenes to come, so...
There's going to be 20,000 people at Game 5.
Inside the arena. There's going to be like 100,000 people on the streets easily. I mean, there might be a million people on the streets. There's a lot of people in the GTA. That's what I'm saying. It's a lot of
people.
Oh,
my God.
Man, my parents are watching the Raptors. You know what I mean? My parents are sitting together and playing my podcast out loud, which is crazy because, you know, they're Asian parents, so they're not supporting podcasting as a viable career.
Yo, today I was driving, like when I was coming through back from work, I was working in like a more rural area today.
Yeah.
I was driving through like Rockwood, Ontario.
I don't even know what the hell that right? is.
It's like before Guelph, but it's, I guess so, maybe. It's up a little north of Guelph, but like it's a small little town.
Is that where they have the Stanley Cup?
Town or whatever. Anyways, no, I was driving through there, right?
Uh-huh.
And like I'm seeing the houses on the side and there's Raptor flags. There's like signs made that are coming out of people's windows which say, let's go Raptors.
Yeah.
And like you're seeing stickers on people's cars. You're mm-hmm. seeing flags on people's cars. And yeah. it's like, I've never seen this much support for this team ever.
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 Where I'm like, I have buddies texting me who like do not watch basketball. And they're just like, yo, we're about to do it. Like, I have friends hitting me today. It's like, yo, you must be, like, lit right now. And I'm like, I honestly don't even know how to feel.
Same. Same.
Like, it hasn't hit yet. Yeah. And, like, people are losing their minds. Like, I have my friends' parents, like, just, like when they see me, they're like, yo. Like, today I was supposed to go for, an Eid celebration dinner at someone's house.
Yo.
And I was just like, no, I'm not going. Like, I have a game to watch. Like, there are more important things. This, I got to watch the game.
Yeah.
Like, man, like, it's insane.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going to happen Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully the best happens Monday because it's going to be insane if it does come through.
They are going
to burn. Shout out to Socrates. Like, you didn't come this far to come this far.
They're going to burn this city down. Well, I'm telling you, man, Toronto is going to need like a week plus to clean this shit. Like, it's going to be a scene. Did you see the scene at Celebration Square?
Yeah, I've been pondering whether to go for Game 5 or not. Just
you got to go,
like,
man. You got to go. I saw it, bro. You owe it to yourself, man. You got to go.
It's going to be insane.
Got to go cry with some strangers, man. That's the real way to experience sports.
It's nuts. I can't believe it's going to happen.
Yeah. Monday. The Raptors.
Monday.
Going to play
hold it in.
for all the marbles, for the NBA championship. The Raptors need one more game, 48 more minutes. They win those 48 minutes.
And I think OLG has the trophy set up in Toronto until June 16th or whatever. And it's crazy they're going to have to cut that short because the Raptors are going to win it before then. Like, it's not going to – they're going to have to take that display down on Monday because they have to bring the trophy's going to be in the arena.
They're going to bring the tape out. Adam Silver with his, you know,
oh my weird God. Ears
are going to be holding the arena, the trophy. Masai's going to be in tears. Kyle Lowry's going to be in tears. It's all happening soon. Listen, I know Raptors tickets are wild expensive, but if you can somehow secure one of the 20,000 tickets to the Scotiabank Arena for Game 5 on Monday, it's worth it. It's worth the investment. Pull out a mortgage. Do what you can within, you know, what's responsible. But for real, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be a moment of a lifetime. So, Asad, thank you for coming on the podcast. Listen, what was I going to say? Check out Asad on Twitter, at SwarLasers. I was about to shout out your SoundCloud one time, but, you know, real, real ones. Real ones. Acid81. Look it up. Anyway, Asad, thank you for coming on the podcast. And,
thank you, man.
Yeah. I'll be back. I'm going to try to do a podcast before game 5 just to sort of tee it up and sort of settle my nerves and sort of settle my emotions. But for now, this is an incredible feeling, and we're about to feel something even greater than this. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Again, rate, review, subscribe, follow everything that Yahoo Sports Canada is putting out, both in terms of video, written content, social content, everything. It's all there for you. You know, follow everyone on the team. I mean, Asad, I'll just ask you, man. How have you found as a consumer about in terms of just the coverage on Yahoo Sports Canada?
Yo,
be unbiased,
honestly,
man. Be unbiased.
Be,
you know, you don't
have
to say
anything about this.
I'm gonna bring on the pod regardless because you know no one else slanders the team as well as you do. But just go ahead. Unbiased opinion. How is Yahoo Sports done? Yahoo Sports Canada, in particular.
Like, part of it has probably to do with the fact that the Raptors have gone this deep, so they've created such a big Toronto roster.
Sure,
but like. The roster's been incredible. Like, there's so much content. The video pod, like, I very much enjoy, like, that video post-game reaction pod.
Yes,
that,
the post-game show.
Vivek, Alex, and Harrison hops on every so-and-so.
Yeah,
like, They had Tyler Ennis on. That's a great show.
Yeah.
Like, it's really well made. I like the fact, the way that it's set up, that you can have some live comments in there. But then it still works as like a 40-minute show to watch the next day.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? That's great content. All the writing's been really good. Yep. Like, there's been a consistent amount where it's like, yo, you're going to get 3 to 4 pieces to read every day.
Every day.
Then you get this podcast, which is a great listen on your commute. Like, you start your morning, the morning after a win or a loss, you start with this podcast. And it sets you up correctly for the day. And it's been great coverage. And like, and then you've got the visuals. Like,
yeah,
Keyshawn's been killing it,
bro.
Like, the entire team's been killing it with the visuals. And I'm not connected to Yahoo Sports in any way, shape, or form.
No.
All right.
No, you really aren't.
So like, I've really loved it. The fact that like I'm looking at like people covering it, and they look like me, they sound like me, that like they're people big. That like
not just you, like the GTA area.
Yeah, like it feels representative.
Mm.
And it's like it's just really awesome to see that. And I think that's how like I think out of all the major media that's covered, Yahoo Sports has done the best job of connecting with like the real fan base on Twitter. Like, you know that there's like different types of NBA fans, right? And like the hardcore NBA fans are the ones that are on Twitter. They might not be the biggest population of NBA fans, but the Yahoo coverage, like as I've seen, has really hit hard with that Twitter community.
Yes.
Like, NBA Twitter community, that's where that Yahoo coverage is, like, just bopping all over the place. And that goes even over to the stateside. Like, you got Chris Haynes running that media game.
Yo, shout out Chris Haynes.
Yo, shout out that game. Also, shout out to that pod you had with him.
Thank you. Yeah, he was really friendly. Yeah, he was really generous with his time. And
That was a good pod to listen to. And that media game was great.
Yeah,
and
that's
was
right.
Like,
he put
man.
It on. Didn't his team win, too? It's pretty impressive.
Well, he switched teams, so of course he won.
Oh, he did?
Right? Damn. But, like, that was also a really hard thing to try to explain to people. Like, imagine trying to explain to anybody off Twitter that I just watched a bunch of media guys play basketball.
I saw it. I'm not even going to lie, bro. You would have been in the All-NBA team of media teams.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. Yo, this year, RR 3-on-3 tournament, we're going to do a live stream. At least I will for my teams.
Yeah, please delete any footage of me.
You're
going to
watch Will Lou going to drop some buckets.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to get in the post against Alex Wong. I'm going to put a hook shot over him. And there's a 35% chance of that going in.
All right. But, yeah, honestly, it's been great coverage. I've absolutely thoroughly enjoyed it. I don't know what I'm going to do after the season ends.
Oh, listen,
to be
there's
going to
be coverage all year long, man. I'm telling you, throughout the summertime, I'm just going to be sitting in that office trying to think about ideas of what to write about.
I can't wait. It's going to be good. And especially next year, I feel like once you guys have a lot more resources built up. Mm.
This is a great proof of concept. This finals run?
It's been amazing. I'll be honest.
All right, bro. Listen, that check's in the mail. I got you. All right. That plus the residuals of me using your song. So that does for the podcast. This podcast has gone long enough. Raptors win game 4. They've taken 2 games at Oracle, and they have a chance to close it out and win the NBA Finals at home in game 5 in Toronto on Monday night. I can't believe I'm saying those words, but that's what's happening.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
And right, last thing.
Yeah.
If you're watching game 5, even if you like watching all your playoff games alone, I would recommend just find a group of people to watch it with. Go out in public and enjoy it, because if they do win, you're going to want to just jump. You're going to want to celebrate with people.
Yeah,
you're
going to hug people.
Take the risk. Take the risk of maybe they lose, because it's a very low risk.
What risk?
Take the risk. Take the risk.
Raptors up 3-1. Even if they lose, they got another 2 chances.
There really isn't one. Go out, find some people, whether it's a bar, whether it's a public viewing party, wherever it is.
Whether
it's
a Cineplex, apparently.
There's Cineplexes. Go there.
Yeah.
Watch a game with people, and I promise you, you're going to have an incredible time.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to do the same. And because if they win, it's going to be a moment. And I feel like if you've put so much effort into watching all these games, you're going to want to be a part of that moment. So let yourself do that.
Let yourself be happy. Believe in yourself. Believe in the city. Masai Ujiri. All right, we're signing up. Peace.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.